Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about a man named Phil. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in again to New Every Day. We're so glad that you've tuned in, and maybe this is your first time joining us. And Jen and I have been friends for a number of years. We sit down here and we record this show and just talk about life stuff. We talk about God, we talk about the Bible, we talk about how it applies to our lives, we talk about Jesus and what he has actually done and changed our lives and given us a new perspective. And so we just kind of engage in conversation and pull you in along with us. So thanks for tuning in. So we've talked about the book of Acts, Jen, and then we've kind of strayed off a little bit, and now we're headed back. And what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we're actually backtracking, because the last time we talked about the book of Acts, we talked about Saul's conversion. And as we thought about, okay, we need to get back into the book of Acts, where are we going? And we're like, well, we're going for after Saul's conversion. And I went,
Wait a second.
We skipped over a man named Phil. And for some of you, you might be thinking, Phil who? And what's interesting is that the author of the book of Acts, who is the Dr. Luke, actually gives almost a full chapter to a man named Phil or Philip. And you might be thinking, well, who is Philip?
He is Philip. Okay.
So, according to the commentary, it says he is one of the seven chosen to oversee the ministry of distributing aid to the needy in Jerusalem church. Now he has become an evangelist spreading the good news about Jesus. So he wasn't one of the 12 disciples, and we've talked about this in previous shows. Basically, the ministry was getting so large that the apostles could no longer give attention to just preaching and praying the gospel. And so they were, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were told to set aside a number of men to look after the waiting on of tables. That means the care of the church. And so we talked about Stephen a little while ago and how he was one of those seven. And so Philip was one of those seven too. And chapter 8, the story of Stephen ends at the beginning of verse 8. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through the Judea and Samaria. So that's all. So the only ones that remained in Jerusalem were the apostles. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. And then we went on to talk about Saul's conversion. Now, coming up to verse 4 is this man named Philip, who we first saw back in we saw him around chapter 3 when they actually laid their hands on people, and they actually listed off the number of people, the names of the people, of who would participate in this ministry. And Philip's name was mentioned around those seven. So, here we go. Verse 4 starts off like this. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he did. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. I love the fact of this passage. What caught my eye was, so those that had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Like, even though they were scattered because of persecution, it's not like they said, okay,
gotta lay low for a bit.
Gotta lay low.
Let this thing pass over.
Or, I can't talk about Jesus, he's gonna get me killed. And what's interesting is that is one of the apologetics or arguments that they Christian I want to say speakers will often use when they say, well, we know Jesus actually rose from the dead because his apostles and those who saw him proclaimed him. Because why would you be willing to die for someone or something if it wasn't real? That you didn't believe in your knower that it was real. And so, like, Philip, here's Philip, after having been scattered from Jerusalem, continues to preach the word of God of the Christ. And that's what it says. It says the Christ or the Messiah. So he was claiming that Jesus is the Son of God. It didn't matter that he had been scattered. It didn't matter that Stephen, his friend, had been killed. He was willing to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel. Like, that's how it says to me, that's real.
This is real. And what I also respect about the apostles here and about the bonus ones like Philip is that even though Stephen was just killed, like, the Lord used that for his purposes, because in scattering, then the word was spread. And we talked about that when we spoke about Stephen. But they didn't sit in mourning. They realized the value and the had the eternal perspective of the kingdom of God. This is not all that there is.
Yes.
And if you feel, if you think that way, that this is it, that this is all that there is to life, then it influences how you respond to tragedy and how you respond to persecution and people commenting or, you know, saying harmful things to you. Then it's much easier to internalize it because you don't have an eternal perspective. But it's like these guys knew where the game was at.
Yes.
Like, you're going to run hard until you finish. And Stephen finished seemingly early.
Yeah.
But it was just the start of their ministry going forward.
And, you know, as you were saying this, it's so easy when the hard knocks come, when the challenges of life come. Just like you said, I'm going to lay low.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay low. I'm just going to take it easy. And as you were speaking, you were really speaking to my spirit. My sister passed away almost a year ago now. And, you know, it would have been easy at that point in time. Just, you know, oh, this is so sad. And, and yet I saw it as an opportunity of proclaiming the good news of how faithful God was. Like, even though from a very earthly perspective, it, you know, her life might not have been seemed as successful or a benefit to those around her. And yet I know that God used her to do so much in my life and to the people that interacted with her. So at her funeral, I was actually to share the gospel story of how, you know, I don't understand why all this is happening. And here's Philip, who's thinking, well, he's the Messiah. He came to the Jewish people. Why are these people rising up? Like, he very well could have been like, whoa.
This doesn't make sense.
This doesn't make sense. But he said, no, I know who Jesus is.
Yes.
I am going to proclaim him. And I am going to continue to go out. And it was just, you know, a real opportunity for me to share, like, I don't understand what's happening, but I do believe in a God who is faithful. I do believe that Jesus really did die on the cross for our sins, so that at the end of time, at the end of our stories here on earth, then we're going to be, you know, renewed with him in, like, face-to-face glory, and my sister's going to have a new body, and I'm going to get to see her again, because those who have faith in Jesus Christ will be reunited.
Yes.
And it's just, that's part of the, like, the yes story.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter, or Philip, is proclaiming. He's proclaiming the yes.
Yes.
Like, this is who Jesus is. And what's interesting is that part of, to be a group, part of the group of seven, they had to have, be, like, godly men and full of the Spirit and have, you know, been a part of that group who followed Jesus.
Mm.
So I love the fact that it said Philip went down, like, even though they had been scattered, they preached wherever they went. So he went down to the city of Samaria, which was a big no-no for Jewish people. Big no-no.
And we saw that in John chapter 4 when Jesus, he was Jewish, Jesus stopped at the well and was speaking to the Samaritan woman, and everyone was surprised that, one, he was speaking to a woman, and in that time, that was a no-no, and she was a Samaritan, which was also, the Jews did not associate with Samaritans. So it's very interesting that that's where he goes.
Yeah. And it goes on, when the crowds heard Philip So he's preaching, and then saw the miraculous signs that he did. They all paid close attention to what he said. And with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. So as we go to commercial break, what I want you to think about, what part of the gospel message brings you great joy? And we'll be back right after these messages.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. You're watching New Every Day with Jen, and I'm Carrie, and we just want to thank you again for tuning in, and thank you to all of our wonderful partners. If you go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click on the Partners tab, and you can see all of the organizations, businesses who are supporting us to help make this possible. And thank you also to Category 5 TV and Robbie Ferguson, who helps to produce this program.
And so we're back with a man named Phil.
Phil.
I know, and it's
Billy.
What I love is that it's this one chapter in the book of Acts, because he doesn't have a book named after, he didn't write a book.
Yeah.
I don't actually think he's mentioned in any of the other, like none of the other writers write about Phil. And so what was it about his life that Luke wanted us to hear? And I think it's just this, he was a man who loved Jesus, who was part of that group of seven who were set apart by the apostles, who when persecution came, he just kept going. He just kept going. Mm. And
that's an aspect of his story that I hadn't thought about before. And I wonder when he was actually martyred. I would have to look that up maybe for our next show. Maybe that's why he's not mentioned later on. I don't know. But it's that tenacity and that kingdom perspective.
Yes.
That this isn't, what life is about is knowing Christ, knowing that we're loved by him, that he was risen from the dead, and that this stuff is real. And
yes.
That motivated his actions.
Well, because it says they all paid close attention to what he said. Why? Because he spoke, and then miraculous signs happened. So I don't think he's like, bam. I think it's like, oh, you're sick? In the name of Jesus, be healed. Right? So he was aware of what was going on. He saw the need, and he prayed because he believed. And so they're watching him. They're watching him just be a real believer in Christ.
Yes.
Like
this is... And I know a lot of churches, and I've spoken with other people who say that they're Christians and say that the book of Acts is not for today. That the signs and wonders done, like the healing and the casting out of evil spirits, that was for that time and it's not for today. But I got to believe that this is for today because Jesus commissioned them to go out and this whole movement was just to continue because Jesus prayed when he was in the garden or when he was with his disciples the night before he died. He prayed for the people who are going to come to know him through the apostles. He was praying for us, I think, to live this way, to have the fullness of the knowledge of God. Mm. And the word also says that these signs will follow those that believe. The healing of the sick, the raising of the dead.
Yes.
The casting out of demons. Mm-hmm. The lame will walk, the blind will see. Jesus said, you see me do these things and you will do even more.
Yes.
And Jen, I've just been challenged lately just to pray crazy prayers.
Hmm.
And what I mean by crazy is like, believing that God can do miraculous things. And for a people and generation, like in Western society, where we rely so much on ourselves or technology or whatever in our lives, I think that God can speak to people by doing the miraculous through his church. And that in the last times that people will be turned to him because of the signs and wonders that will follow those that truly believe.
And, you know, we had a woman in our church who had hurt her shoulder, And she messaged me saying, can you put this on the prayer chain? And that's what we do. We have a prayer chain at church. Basically, you send in the email, you send in the text message. It goes out to a group of people. They start praying. And she said to me, after that was sent and after I received prayer on Sunday morning, my shoulder felt miraculously better.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
yeah.
Like, and it shouldn't shock us, but sometimes it does, because not always do people share with us how they feel healed, or they are healed after we've prayed for them. But it was just like, yeah, God, like, why wouldn't you do this? We asked, and we asked in faith.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool to like, when you said, this is for today.
This is for today.
It is for today. And that question that I asked before we went to break said, you know, so there was great joy in that city. And so what is it that brings me joy about the gospel? Like, what is it? And it's probably hearing God's stories about how when people open themselves up to Jesus and being changed by him, and hearing them just share the stories of how they are transformed. I used to do this, but now I do this. I used to do this, and now I do this. I used to, you know, like, my marriage was just falling apart, and then I came to know Jesus, and he healed it. Like, that's probably one of my greatest joy, is just seeing the power of Jesus Christ working in the lives of people.
Yeah.
Like, that's my yay God. You know, that's what brings me great joy when I think about the gospel message, is just how lives are changed when they meet Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm more and more convinced that he really is the answer to every problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no problem too big. And sometimes, like, if I've prayed for someone to be healed and they're not healed, it's easy to think of all the reasons why, and then all the reasons why not to pray in the future. But if I'm not praying, then nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So why not just pray?
Why not?
I got to share a story. So my mom was at a parent-teacher night, I guess, at mm-hmm. the school for my little brother. And the custodian was there, and she was complaining of back pain. And my mom just went up and she was like, I'm going to pray for your back. Is that okay? And then she just put her hand on her back and prayed for her that she would be healed. And then that was it. And my mom walks in faith, believing that God can do, like, all these crazy things. And then he does.
And then he does.
And then he does. So anyways, the custodian a couple days later spoke with another teacher at the school who knows my mom and said, after that lady prayed for me, my back is better.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I know. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Like, I just believe that he can do these things. We're out of time already.
We're out of time. Read that passage about Philip and say, Lord, how can I look like Philip? Or what part of Philip's life can I be a part of? In the sense of, like, maybe you're feeling opposition, but you still need to step out in faith. Or maybe God's calling you to pray for someone or to do a miraculous sign, and you're just like, whoa, that's not for me.
Yeah.
We would say, ask the Lord about that. Yeah. Like, ask him to convict you and to give you the courage that you need to step out in faith and just continue to preach, you know, whatever the words are that he's given you to share. So,
And I just got to say, pray and ask God to show you something about that person.
Mm-hmm.
That he would give you even, like, a word of knowledge for them, something that you could share with them and pray specifically for them, because he already knows. He already knows them.
He already knows them.
Right.
So we're going to sign off. May the Lord blow your socks off this week when you think about, what is it that you would have me do if you ask him that question, and then just wait. And then I'm just thinking that the Lord is going to have you do and step out in faith in a miraculous way. So may you be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with you wherever you go. So until next week, we'll see you then. Bye.
I'm wrecking the set.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.